the daily portion of Sefer HaMitzvos and the Rambam. Today's commandment is again Prohibition 253, the prohibition against financially cheating a righteous convert to Judaism. The Rambam quotes the book of Exodus, chapter 22, verse 20, which states, "V'ger leisena v'leis ilchatzenu," that we should not do a gnaw to a convert, "v'leis ilchatzenu," and not oppress him. These two separate statements correspond to the two prohibitions for the Jewish people at large. As we learned previously, that there is a prohibition against a nos momen and a nos dvorim. A nos momen is financially cheating, unrightfully taking money in a business transaction from another person. A nos dvorim, however, is a different type of a nos. The same Hebrew word is used for both, but in this case it refers to verbally causing mental anguish or distress to another individual. Just as we have these two prohibitions in the Jewish people at large, we have two separate prohibitions in addition for converts to Judaism. Prohibition 253 is the prohibition against financial cheating, which is done against a convert. And the Rambam quotes the Mechilta, which says the second phrase in this verse, "V'leis ilchatzenu," you should not impress him, oppress him. This is referring to financially taking money illegally from the person who was converted to Judaism. The first part of the statement, "V'ger leisena," is referring to causing him mental anguish through what a comment you have made, as we will discuss, God willing, in tomorrow's shiur. But "V'leis ilchatzenu" is referring to the financial aspect, as we discussed in length in the laws of a nos momen, that a sixth is the cutting point when you are called cheating to such an extent that even the entire sale has declared invalid. Should you take more than one-sixth of the real value of the object, the entire deal is off. However, should it be one-sixth, the deal is still valid, but the money must be returned. Should it be less than a sixth, even though a person should be careful to ensure that he is not, that the buyer is aware that this is not the true price of the object. However, the deal is still valid, and the money must not be returned, since one-sixth is a normal margin of error. The question is, if we already have a prohibition that we're not allowed to do a nos momen to any Jew, why do we need a second prohibition for the case of a convert? A ger tzedek, a rightful convert to Judaism, is considered Jewish to the fullest extent. Why then is there a separate verse prohibiting us from cheating a convert? The Rambam quotes the Gemara in Bava Metzia, which says that the truth is that we don't need it. We would also be violating a biblical prohibition through cheating a person who was converted, since they are Jewish as well. What does the next verse come to tell us? It comes to make you transgress on two prohibitions instead of one. That first of all, you would be transgressing the regular prohibition against cheating a Jew. And then there's a second biblical prohibition against cheating a person who was converted. And you would be transgressing both of these. And similarly, in the case of a nos dvorim, causing mental anguish through a comment you have made, should it be any other Jew, a person born a Jew, you would get one biblical prohibition. Why? What would be if the person was a convert? You would have transgressed two biblical prohibitions and would be subject to a double punishment. In his legal code, the Rambam points out that really the person would be violating three prohibitions and not two. As he learns that since the same expression is used for both, the word leisonu or alseinu, that you should not do a na, and the same expression is used, both referring to financially cheating the person as well as causing anguish to the person. Therefore, once you have violated this prohibition regarding the convert, you will get both other prohibitions for another Jew. The prohibition for a nos momen and the prohibition for a nos dvorim, for a total of three prohibitions. Why does the Torah in general give us more than one prohibition for a single act? The reason is not in order to punish us more, as if Hashem wants to, God forbid, punish the Jewish people more. Rather, from the punishment we see the severity of the act we have done, and how serious a violation has occurred. Therefore, since we see that there are two, or as the Rambam paskins and is brought in Alter Rebbe Shulchan Aruch, that there are three prohibitions a person is violating, we see what a serious act was committed through cheating the person who was converted. The Chinuch explains the reason why it is that the Ger has been singled out for another prohibition, and it gives two reasons for it. One reason is that since the Ger has converted, he does not have the support of his family in the community. He has converted and is virtually without independent support in the community. Since he has no family to help him out, and no long-lasting network of friends in the community, therefore, it would be very tempting for people to take advantage of him and to cheat him. Should it be a person who was born Jewish, he probably has family, and he probably has friends in the area from childhood, where if he was cheated, they would stand up for him, and they would make sure that any of the money was returned. However, in the case of a convert, the convert might be afraid to stand up for his rights, and he is much more subject to having people take advantage of him. Therefore, the Torah has to give another separate prohibition to specify to us that we must not oppress the convert. Another reason given by the Chinuch is that the Ger, a person who converts, has a tremendously strong battle, since he has had a whole life with a difficult upbringing. He has been raised in, obviously, in a non-Jewish environment, without the benefits of kosher food and so on. He is given an extremely strong Yetzer Hara, a strong evil inclination. And therefore, we must be especially careful not to put undue pressure upon him, because this might stimulate him, Yachzir L'Sudei, that the person could, God forbid, go back to his previous way of behavior. Should he have decided not to convert, there is nothing wrong. He should fulfill the 7 Noahad commandments, but he has no requirement to convert to Judaism. However, once he has converted, he is a Jew forever. He has been given a special neshama, which is the whole idea of gir al pi halacha, that legal conversions according to Jewish law. That what makes a person Jewish? Judaism is not a question of free choice. A person can decide whether to be Jewish or not. Judaism, a person is defined as Jewish when they have a Jewish neshama, when they have a Jewish soul. And what tells us when they have this soul? If either they are born to a Jewish mother, or if they have not been born to a Jewish mother, but rather have converted to Judaism according to the halacha, if they're undergoing this halachic procedure, Hashem endows them with a new soul, with a new neshama, the neshama of a Jew. Therefore, after they have acquired this new neshama, they're not allowed to go back to their previous mode of behavior. Now they're Jewish, and they're Jewish forever. And it wouldn't matter what they might do. They remain Jewish for the rest of their lives. And since they have an unusually hard battle, because of an unusually strong Yetzer Hara, we must take special precautions to ensure that they are not tempted to go back to their previous mode of living. And this is, as we mentioned yesterday, one of the terrible aspects of conversions which are done not according to Jewish law. Aside from the harm which is done to the Jewish people, that people who are not really Jewish are passed off as Jewish, and assimilation becomes rampant throughout the Jewish people, the problem is with the non-Jews as well, that they come to despise the Jewish people because they see that they were cheated by the Jewish people, that they were stolen from, because they were led to believe that they were becoming Jewish, and they give in most cases a tremendous amount of money. This is a tremendous financial incentive for rabbis who convert not according to Jewish law, that since the only impediment, quote-unquote, in the eyes of the bride and groom, of the young man or young woman who are intending to marry, one of them happens to be not of the right religion. So we can remedy this very quickly and simply by converting. It's not a question of commitment or a question of wanting to become Jewish. Therefore, they simply go to the person where it should be easiest. And since they have no boundaries and no requirements of Jewish law, they can make the conversion ceremony any way they want. I once heard of a case of a place where the conversion ceremony consisted of the prospective convert, quote-unquote, coming to the synagogue Friday night. They would open up the Aron Kadesh, the holy ark, where the Sefer Torah was, and they had asked the person, "Do you believe in the one God?" And they would answer, "Yes." They said, "Do you believe in the Torah?" "Yes." "Can you say Shema Yisrael?" "Yes." "Let us hear you say Shema Yisrael." And the person would repeat Shema Yisrael. Then they ask, "Do you always promise to do good to other Jewish people?" And the person says yes. At that point, they're physically embraced, they're hugged, and a dance ensues as the person is welcomed, God forbid, into the fold of Judaism, without ever having become Jewish, without going through the steps required by Halacha, without ever getting a Jewish neshama. Later on, perhaps a rabbi who holds by the halacha will be asked to perform a marriage, and upon refusing, he will be accused of being closed-minded and of discriminating against converts. Where the exact opposite is true, as we can see from this law, the utmost respect and care is given in the halacha, in the treatment of a person who is converted to Jewish law. But this applies when they've converted to Jewish law. You cannot take a person who is not Jewish and close your eyes and pretend they're Jewish. Non-Jews deserve respect as well, and must be treated honorably and honestly and with respect, and they must be encouraged to be brought close to the Creator through fulfillment of the seven mitzvahs. But that does not make them Jewish. This is recognizing non-halacha conversions breaks down the boundaries, chas v'shalom, between Jew and non-Jew. Our sages tell us that the entire Jewish people came into existence only after having undergone conversion. That at Matan Torah, at the giving of the Torah at Mount Sinai, the entire Jewish people had to convert. And just as in those times, there had to be a certain process to go through. First, they came out of Egypt and went through a certain stage of purification. And only then did the conversion process take place. This also, today, conversion is not something which can be done instantly. It must be done with thought. And it must be done with full commitment to the standards and the ideals, as well as the privileges of being a Jew. And once the person has converted according to Jewish law, not only are they not discriminated against, God forbid, but are held in the highest light, the highest regard. As the Rambam himself writes in a letter to the famous Rav Avadia HaGer, that he is not only a child of Avram Yitzchak V'Yankov, of the patriarchs of the Jewish people, as all people who are born Jewish are children of our forefathers, but more so, a convert is the son of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, Hashem himself, that they have direct lineage and a direct connection in a way more than a person born Jewish, as a result of their having, by their choice, made a direct connection with their Creator. Thank you for tuning in to the daily portion of Sefer HaMitzvahs. For more information or to sponsor one of the installments, contact Sichas in English at area code 718-778-5436. That's 718-778-5436. And please join us again tomorrow.